Okay, Shalom Rabbi Yitzhak. We are in Cheres HaVavis Shal HaTshuva. We start from Perek Beis. In the previous Perek, in Perek Aleph, the Cheres HaVavis told us in a basic way what the essence of Tshuva is. And so the essence of it is getting yourself back onto the solid track of Hashem's service after you strayed from it, whether by neglecting to do something you should have done or doing something you should not have done. And basically what it entails is, the way he put it down was, you have to pull to a little bit of an opposite direction. You want to, if you did something wrong, meaning if you neglected to do what you should have done, so you want to be putting an extra effort to that area, but if you did something you shouldn't have done, so basically the idea was, besides the basic Gidrei HaTshuva, which you mentioned, the basic Alel Vidui, etc., you want to be distancing yourself from not only the act itself that was usur, but anything in that ballpark, and doing things in the opposite direction, pulling yourself to the opposite direction until you really get yourself back on track, and then you go back to a balanced approach. Now we begin Perek Beis, the second Perek. There are three, what we'll call levels of Kedusha, in a very broad way. Echad mehem, one is, Hashav machma shalei matzo derech la'aveira. He did tshuva. Yeah, this is going to be a little harsh, what the Chavis Avos is going to say here. He did tshuva because right now the aveira isn't relevant. Right now the aveira isn't relevant. So this person, is Mechal Shabbos. Yes, it's a lot to be Mechal Shabbos. Just giving a mashal. Now it's Tuesday. So Chil Shabbos isn't relevant. And therefore, right now, he's very regretful over the fact that he's Mechal Shabbos. And as long as it's not Shabbos, he really believes that he should not be Mechal Shabbos. He doesn't want to be Mechal Shabbos. Right? So this person regrets it. Shalom. This person regrets it, etc., when it's not relevant. But as soon as it becomes relevant again, then goyver yitzrael sichle. His yitzharah, his yitzharah is basically saying, oh, you know what, I'm going to leave now. I'll be back next Shabbos. Until next Shabbos, I don't mind. Be a big tzaddik. Regret yechil Shabbos. I'll be back early on time for Tosefes Shabbos. And then we'll get back in touch then, right? So he regrets it. He does regret it. He's a sincere guy, just with very, very weak resolve. That's the chiddush of the Chavis HaLavis, right? He's talking about a person who has a certain level of regret. But once the avera becomes relevant again, the opportunity presents itself. Goyver Yitzrael Sichloi, as Yitzharah looms large again, rears its ugly head, knocks his seichel out of the ballpark. V'layim mona mimena. And he won't hold back. Talk about Chil Shabbos. You really have to think about something that's a bit more tempting. I don't know, some sort of. There you go. Or it's the wrong hechsher. The only place you can get the double fudge ice cream in town is a non-kosher store, right? So he goes. He has his double fudge ice cream. When he's feeling all full, he can't get in another bite. He says, "Oh, I really shouldn't have done it," right? And then the next day, the ice cream store is closed and only opens in the evening, and he's thinking, terrible, terrible, I'll never do this again. And then he's walking home from Meiriv, and the ice cream store is open again. And before you know it, he's back there again. And give him three more spoonfuls, and then he'll regret it again. Just let him finish his the ice cream, and then he'll regret it again. So he says, when the opportunity presents itself again, the Yitzhara knocks the seichel out of the ballpark. He won't refrain. But then when he finishes doing the act, all of a sudden he says, that was a terrible thing to do. And he's full of regret. Now, I want to stress, the Chavis HaVavis is not talking about somebody who is completely insincere and doesn't care. It's talking about a person who regrets it. Each time he regrets it again. But it doesn't hold him back at all. So, Zeshov Befiu V'Loi Belibui. Chavis HaVavis renders his judgment on this person. This person is repenting with his mouth, not with his heart. Ubil Shainai Loi B'Maaseu. He regrets it with his tongue, not with his deeds. This person is just deserving of punishment. And this is basically what Chazal tell us. It's a certain sober statement. The Rasha is not necessarily the person who is just, I know it's wrong, he's on a malicious track, I don't care, right? No, this is the one whom Chazal say, Roshoyim Aleim Charotis. Each time after he does it, he feels terrible. And then he does it again. Then he feels terrible again. He does it again. Chavis HaVavis is saying, this is a level of tshuva that earns you punishment. So now I just want to stress something, because there's a fine line here. So who's better, this guy or the guy who never regrets it? And there's no question that this guy is infinitely better than the guy who never regrets it. Because at least in his mind, at least where he is, he's that much closer to the right thing, right? And that's why it's interesting, because the Kuzari, when he talks about this, he says a very interesting point. He says, if you can get a Rasha to feel bad about what he's doing, you've already been mizakeh, even if he continues doing it. Sometimes we say, mutav l'adam shiyeh shogva, you're amazing, fine. We're not getting into the halachic where you draw these lines. But if you've gotten a person to regret it, he says it's already the beginning sproutings of tshuva. So you see, interestingly, the Chavis HaVavis is saying this person is deserving of punishment, yet he's classing it as the first level of tshuva. So what exactly will make of that? We're just pointing out that this person is a significant step closer to tshuva. He's definitely much better than the guy who doesn't care. But yet, he has not made the grade of being in the ballpark yet. What we'll say is like this. In Gehenna, he's going to be in a cooler place than the other guy. He's gotten himself to a cooler place, but he hasn't made it out of Gehenna yet. Okay. Next. It's a very profound story about, I forgot which maybe it was the Tzemach Tzedek, I'm not sure. One of the earlier Lubavitcher Rebbes, that there was one of his Hasidim, a Bacher, came to him and started discussing with him all kinds of sfeikus and emuna. All kinds of sfeikus and emuna. And the Rebbe told him, I'm not sure what to answer you. Go to Reb Aaron of Karlin. Reb Aaron of Karlin, I believe that's the one who composed the famous Koyach Seif. I believe that that's the one who we're talking about. Koyach Seif. So this Reb Aaron of Karlin was a ball of fire. It was a different style. The Lubavitcher Rebbes were more, to call it, philosophical. He was very, very fiery, very, very passionate. More, we might also call it more hard-nosed, right? So the way it worked was, you came into him, you told him your question, you told him your problem, and then you would go back to him, the Beis Medrash, to wait for him to come out and give you his answer or whatever he would respond. He'd first hear you out, and then you go wait in the Beis Medrash. He was in a room off the Beis Medrash. So this fellow came. He came into Reb Aaron of Karlin, and he told him that he's having sfeikus of emuna. What are your questions? The person told him all of his sfeikus, all of his questions. Okay, fine. Waiting in the Beis Medrash. So this fellow is waiting in the Beis Medrash. And waiting. Finally, at one point, Rabbanu Kalin comes out and says, Bacharul, But it also could be that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. And then he went back into his room. But he said something to the effect of, but I have more to tell you. Wait here. He went back into his room. He was there again for, I don't know, half hour, whatever it is. Came out and he says, Bachro, I want to add, it still could be that there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. And he did it a third time. Went back into his room. He came out third time, the third time, and said, I want to add to what I told you before. After all said and done, it's still possible that this is Ribbono Shel Olam. And that was it. Then he let him go. This fellow said he was already basically on his way off. He was on his way off. And but he said that the effect of this was, he later met up, it's a whole story. This was really a story in a story. We met up with, he ended up becoming a part of the Russian government. No shaykhus to Yiddishkeit. He said, Lemaise, the Aaron of Kalin never allowed me to just move on and let go and enjoy life. Because the psychology here was genius. This guy was coming. What was the idea? The idea was, I have all kinds of questions. Let's see if you can answer them. Then with each person who comes and tries to answer, he refuses to accept the answer. He's gotten more license, right, to go and do what he wants. What Rav Aaron Kalin did was basically tell him, I'm not going to answer for you. I want you to stay with the question mark hanging in your mind. I'm not going to give you the license if I didn't manage to convince you. Well, your questions, but you still haven't disproven it, right? Stay with that suffix. Maybe there is a Ribbono Shel Olam. Now live the rest of your life with that hanging in the background. Stick that in your pipe and smoke it. You'll never really enjoy a good puff. And that was the reality. This guy lived for the rest of his life with that torturous. He was already ready to drop it all. He just needed his green light from a few more people who would be able to answer his questions, right? He was left with that torturous statement in the back of his mind, but it could be that there is, right? And this is basically, perhaps we would say that that's, what did he achieve? What did Rav Aaron of Kalin achieve besides torturing him until his last day? What he achieved was that he didn't let him, he kept him from going all the way off. Perhaps that kept the person still on a certain level of emunah. And instead of going to a place where he got his green light to drop it all, he was still held on a certain level of emunah, and perhaps that would be to his merit. Like I said before, it's not going to get him out of Gehenna, but it might still be to his merit that he had that level of emunah. Okay. I'm sorry. Achelik Hasheni. Oh. Exactly. I mean, I understand even more than that. It didn't stop him from doing anything. But in his mind, that spark of emunah still stayed. Like, as opposed to the person who says, who really managed to completely sever all belief, this person just couldn't get rid of that niggling sense of emunah. And perhaps that actually did worlds for him in terms of, even though he did all the same things. Perhaps. Okay. Achilek Hasheni. What's the next level? So he's breaking it into very, very broad categories, we understand. But this is already what we might call the more classic person, sincere person who's fighting. He really wants to do a proper tshuva. Hashav belibi, the belibay ube'evarov. He does tshuva in his heart and with his organs. V'oimeg besichloi keneged Yitzroi. And when the Yetzer rears its ugly head, he fights it. Has his seichel fight it. U'misnaheg l'achriach nafshon. And he battles himself. He tries to overcome. He beats down his Yetzirah. And he fights to keep the Yetzirah at bay and to keep from doing what Hashem doesn't like. But it's a constant battle. He always is pulled in that direction. He has that attraction. He wants to do it, but he holds himself back. Right? But his nefesh really is longing for the aver. He would like to do it. He's tempted, but he's fighting himself. He tries to hold it in check. Sometimes it overcomes him. Sometimes he overcomes it. This is not a full-fledged Baal Tshuva. Shemachayeves loy ha-kapara. This doesn't really earn him kapara. Ad sheyasu min averus legamri. Until he leaves the avera completely. Now this is, again, we're talking Rishonim standard here. We really need to elaborate on this because in a general way, what he's saying is, as long as it's still a battle, and sometimes you win and sometimes you are beaten, you haven't really gotten there yet. L'chayra, we may allow ourselves to say that this is not necessarily the accepted halacha l'maaseh. You know what? This deserves more elaboration. We'll have to see this. We'll see this tomorrow. Good night.
Allow me to the so I'm a Kalin to repeat what I